I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Deborah Frances White.
Comedian, author, motorcycle courier, magazine editor, holiday maker, bricklayer, Bitcoin miner. Deborah Frances White, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you for having me, David.
It's an absolute pleasure and about bloody time.
Isn't it?
Deborah Frances White, am I getting the emphasis there right?
Where are
the hyphens in all of that? Is it all hyphenated?
There's a hyphen between Deb and Aura.
Right,
and
yes.
Then one between Frances and White.
Right.
Yeah, okay. For equity reasons.
Because Frances White without a hyphen was taken.
Yeah, no, genuinely, I wasn't allowed.
That's not a rule.
Yeah, no,
you can't just stick a random hyphen in and now you've got a new name. I couldn't be Dame Judy de Ench. Could I?
Yeah.
What a mistake I've made.
I had to have the hyphen. They forced me into it.
And that gets past their whole system.
Yeah, Helena Bonham Carter runs it. She insists everyone has to have hyphen.
Because Helena Bonham Carter.
Little known fact, she's called H hyphen Eleanor Bonham Carter. So if you meet her in person, you must call her H.
So did you always want to be whatever it is you are?
What is it that you think I am, David?
Well, I mean, I outlined the main points at the beginning, you know, bricklayer, motorcycle courier, that sort of thing. But it's sort of comedian and guru, I'd say. I'd probably add to the list. I think
guru is too strong.
Too strong.
But icon is not strong enough. I think that's where I'd place it.
Right, right.
Sort of gay icon and feminist feeder.
Feeder.
Yes, you know feeders.
Feeders. Abusive relationships where you get them as fat as possible so they can never leave you. You're like that with the feminist community. Is that what you're saying?
I object to the word abusive.
Oh, right.
And I will be telling Twitter about it later.
Okay. Okay.
That's so how feminism is run now, exclusively on Twitter, through hashtags and anger.
Hashtag not abuser.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's your opinion on feeders then? What's your positive spin on the feeding community?
Well, I wish I hadn't gone here, David.
Right, I know, I can see it in your eyes.
Because there is, in terms of body positive movement,
yes.
It's important that we are positive about the body that we have. And therefore, it would be really, really politically charming of you to move away from this topic to another one.
But it would be really funny of me to really push the point.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted just to push you off the stool in order to distract.
No, fair enough. We'll move away. So can laughter solve the world's problems, do you think?
If comedy can change the world, comedy should be banned. Because look at the world. If comedy has had anything has engineered Trump, Brexit, or any of the other ghastly nightmares that we've got going on at the moment,
yes.
Probably let's stop comedy for a few years and see if it rights itself.
Well, we've brought up an interesting topic there. Has comedy caused all of this?
Yes.
It has.
I think it's responsible for it. No, it's
Which
not,
comedian specifically has caused all of this?
Jim Jefferies. Yeah, he's caused most of it.
So could I talk about the many, many corporate seminars that you do where you teach office workers how to pick a favourite colour? Now, are they really incapable of doing that on their own?
Yes.
They are. Mm. They are. What's it like to try and, over 3 or 4 weeks, teach them how to pick a favourite colour?
I mean, when you go in, you start with sort of easier stuff than that, sort of, you know, a number they can think of.
Right.
That sort of
thing.
They
don't need to commit to a favourite.
There's no need for favourites.
No.
Because if at the beginning, if you say to your brain, come up with your favourite, it paralyses your brain with fear that
not
you
me.
Choose the wrong thing.
Orange.
Not. Well, David,
ask me my favourite everything.
No,
anything.
David,
I know.
Okay, all right. I will. Your favourite eye.
Well, it'd have to be my right eye.
Your favourite Lady Gaga.
That would be Lady Gaga.
No, you're meant to choose a costume or an era.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like
I
a
just like
meat
her.
Dress or something like that. You can't say favorite Lady Gaga, Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. She's my favorite Lady Gaga.
I feel like you're not as good at this game as you thought you were going to be.
No, I'm really good at
and it. And you're losing confidence.
I love Lady Gaga.
I
like her on The Simpsons where she has that train.
When will white straight men get their crisis of confidence? When is it coming? I want to know. I mean, you look around at the world and they're running every fucking thing and have been for 10,000 years and it's all going to shit.
I'm not. I'm in a small room doing a podcast.
No, well, that's true. But I feel it
you
should be...
You play the fucking Palladium.
Okay. All right. I do see that. But as a collective group of individuals...
Well, that's the thing.
Never...
Everyone else is a collective group. White men are all individuals. That's the entire
That's true. You are the warm and acceptable face of humanity.
Right,
that's true.
Absolutely.
The reassuring face of humanity.
So, when do you think, going back to your corporate work, when do you think massive corporations will realise that the service we provide is not worth as much as we say it is?
Oh, in terms of...
In terms of what they're willing to pay for a professional comedian to come and talk to their people for about, you know, 3 hours.
See, I'm worth twice my money.
Right.
No,
you?
I genuinely am.
Oh, really?
I know. I go into a seminar that is usually incredibly tedious. The energy is incredibly low. And then I come in and deliver an hour of funny, high-energy material about diversity and inclusion that is genuinely useful.
Right.
So I do agree that what most, like, impro companies that go in, generally...
Well, that's
delivering,
my experience of it.
Yeah, generally they're delivering a large quantity of old rope.
Oh, I do a very small quantity of old rope when I do it.
And then they're like...
very handsomely for the
privilege.
But
genuinely, the thing I worked out very early on, that if I delivered something that was genuinely useful, they'd have me back 3 times a week. So that's why I do it.
Most recently, you've been something of a sensation, hosting a very successful podcast.
Stop it.
Making a Murderer. What first attracted you to true crime?
Well, my father was a very famous film noir detective in his day.
He was a film noir detective?
Yes, sort of that sort of gumshoe sort.
Right, yes.
Yes, I mean, he wasn't a fictitious character.
Right, he was real. But he wore a trench coat and smoked cigarettes.
That's right.
Right,
yes.
And I can picture him.
Yes, and solved crimes in our local area.
Right, right. Chicago.
That's right.
Right, Chicago.
Inner city Chicago.
Inner city Chicago.
And
on holidays from Australia.
Yes, well, I read a lot of Enid Blyton as a child, and I picked up the accent from the books. So while I spent my summers in Australia and our winters in Chicago, my father, when we were in Australia, he shaped surfboards. That was his main job.
Right.
And when we were in Chicago, gumshoe detective.
Gumshoe detective.
And he, of course, you know, solved an extremely famous crime.
So the famous crime?
The famous
the
one.
Famous the famous Chicago crime.
Yes, the one you've blogged about it a lot.
I've blogged almost exclusively about the famous Chicago crime.
And I assume that's why you wanted to meet me.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry, it's all about your father, really.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to know
be
about...
close to somebody who was...
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sort of close
the case of the Silver Falcon. It's an incredible, incredible... Unsolved, actually. I mean, he got... it was... New evidence came to light, didn't it? I mean, did that cast
any... I mean, David, my PR did expressly say... And I feel it's a betrayal of you. I said, do not mention that it was unsolved. I said to her, and she said, David knows.
Yes.
So,
well,
David the terms
wasn't
of the interview.
Really listening. And David misunderstood. I thought that was your PR, was it?
Yeah.
I thought that was your driver. I was just talking to them. So it was solved fantastically by your father. back in the 60s, I think it was, wasn't it?
The result has never been changed. Ask you not to bring it up, yes. and you knew. You're saying you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Sorry. The reason I asked you not to bring it up is very emotional, right. And it's not. It's just because it just, you know, I don't like crying on stage, and it's just, you know.
You don't push
a button now.
Happens a lot though, doesn't it? Usually it's sort of the beginning of the third act lull. That's usually when it seems to happen. But you're in the family business, is what we're basically saying. You have an interest in true crime stories. How many have you solved on the podcast so far?
Four? Yeah.
Four. Can you talk us through them?
Yeah.
Good.
The one with the diamonds.
The one with the diamonds.
Yeah, then the dog. It turned out to be the dog.
It was the dog, not the diamonds.
No, well, the dog ate the diamonds.
The dog ate the diamonds, and we all know.
Yeah, and it was thought to be sort of one of the like a perfect crime because there was absolutely no fingerprints. There was no forced entry.
All sorts of paw prints, but no fingerprints at all.
And well, they thought the dog had wrestled the criminal, and it turned out the dog was the criminal.
Was the criminal. And that poor guy.
That poor dead guy. Yeah, who...
mauled
yes.
by a dog. But he took the rap for a long time, so well done for solving that one. That was incredible.
Well,
finally, that dog was destroyed. So the one where you got that dog killed, what about the other three?
There was the garden gnome murder.
The garden gnome murder, yeah.
I mean, you said the most insightful thing about the garden gnome murder that I heard anybody say, actually.
Right.
It was on another podcast, which was... a true crime podcast about podcasts.
Yes, I mean, there have been a lot of copycat podcasts since Deborah's one.
But yours is called the True Crime Podcast Hour.
That's right.
True Crime Podcast Hour.
True Crime Podcast Hour.
And you said the most insightful thing about the Garden Gnome murder.
I said, if you change the topsoil, is it really the same garden?
You did. And the reason that's insightful, because that might not appear insightful to you now.
But it changed everything.
In fact, it doesn't appear insightful, but it actually is.
No, you said it. You said it was incredibly insightful.
And the reason I said it was insightful, because of what it referred to, David, and could you just fill them in about the particular Garden Gnome murder incident?
Right, well, you see, what happened was there was a spate of murders involving garden gnomes. Sometimes the gnomes were used themselves as blunt instruments, and other times the people just found reaching for a garden gnome in their last death throes. And so it was sort of fascinating. What is the link? And, of course, there was no forensic evidence that linked anything. Mm. And so, but what I when I was suggested, and I had no idea what would happen from this, that is a garden, if you change the topsoil, really the same garden? What they discovered was it had actually been the same lawn at all of those murder sites.
That was the thing. So sedum was the connector.
Mm.
And until David said that, we hadn't thought of it at all. But we went around and with our little tape recorder, and we measured the grass, and we discovered that all the grass was exactly the same, with the same inch ratio.
Height.
Height is one.
Same height.
Height.
I mean, forensics say inch ratio, but to the layman, it's height.
Forensics do say inch ratio, and that's what you have to remember. Length we call line out.
The line out,
because you sort of literally measure the line out.
You do.
Yes. And I mean, you're all lay people, but what you need to remember is that I know more than any of you, and this is all true.
Right, and that is usually the theme of your monologue up top.
So that's why I know more than you and always will do.
Now let's on with the show.
Yes.
So that's two crimes. You mentioned four.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Well, the Lady Grace crime.
My favourite.
Yes. So this is an historical crime.
Mm.
This is something, that nobody had known. She's a Victorian Lady Grace. And just one of those things, mystery, close up. We open cases from, vintage cases, if you will. Retro crime. Retro crime.
And I found it staggering. Why it was my favourite is I found it staggering the murderer was still alive.
Well, that's interesting because he was only 2 when he committed the murder.
That's right.
And is now 104 and living in Delaware.
But you got justice because they went round to his house, they clapped him in irons, and the Queen demanded her letter back, which is very, very good of her, I thought.
Absolutely.
Give
and
back.
Yes, he had a heart attack there and then on the steps.
Right.
But we looked into his eyes and he knew he was caught before he went. And do you know what? I think he wanted to be caught because he got away with something and no one had known it was him. Mm. And you know that sort of vanity of the psychopath?
Yes.
He
I do, yes.
Very similar twinkle in the eyes, David,
right.
If you don't mind me saying.
Right, yes, yes. But the twinkle is manufactured. I mean, right now I feel nothing. Nothing
and
at all.
And that's show business.
That's show business. And the fourth crime?
The fourth crime is the Great Dorset Cow Disappearance, when all of the cows in Dorset disappeared for 24 hours only and
right.
then were put back exactly where they were.
Exactly where they were.
Exactly
and
where.
How they knew it was exactly where they were is the greatest mystery.
Mm.
And yet the farmers all knew, didn't they?
Yeah.
They all knew it was exactly where their cow,
exactly
all of the
were.
Cows had been.
Exactly where they were.
And the solution to that one was, remind me.
Aliens.
Aliens. Mm.
Well, that's what we came up with because we
right.
couldn't think of anything else. And it was just the cows just disappeared for 24 hours and came back. It's got to be Doctor Who, that sort of thing, hasn't it?
Or it could be just cow public holiday.
I mean, it's hard to know which of our explanations is more plausible, but it's mine.
It's yours. It's yours.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many podcasts have a cult following, but you've actually taken that one step further to start a cult based on your podcast, haven't you?
I mean, listen, the thing about joining a cult as a teenager, as I did, is that it's terribly easy to start one. And
right, well, you learn the rules, don't you?
Yeah, really, genuinely, I do think it does concern me because I feel like I do have a tendency towards starting a cult,
whether you mean to or not.
Oh, yeah, I don't mean to.
No, of course, it just happens.
I had an improv company, and when I was younger, and that had a sort of, some of my friends used to say, it's a sort of cult-like following.
Right.
Yeah, in fact,
But it's all wound up now since the mass suicide that everybody conducted, wearing their Nike trainers at your classes.
That's not what happened.
Is that
in
not
fact,
what happened?
I think actually that improv group was mentioned on this podcast before.
Was it?
Back then my name was, I went by the stage name of Deborah Feminist.
Oh, right, yes,
and
Michael Legg, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Michael Legg and I were in a group called Bellowing Nervously Over the Woman.
That's right.
And
I remember, an improv group.
And then Michael and I were having a massive affair at the time, a torrid
what
affair.
What is a massive affair?
It's a,
just a long length? Or is it the springiness? What is it?
It's the inch ratio.
How big it is.
And listen, Michael Legg's inch ratio is not to be sniffed at.
Right. I wouldn't sniff at anyone's inch ratio, to be honest. It's just not polite.
Don't sniff at it. He cries. But he actually, as a romantic gesture on Valentine's, faked my death. And
oh, how sweet.
I mean, it just at the time I thought, well, this is a really romantic thing. You know, he flew me to Cuba and then but then after a few months I started to miss friends and family.
Right, and you've thought, gone, I didn't want to do this. Why have I faked my death?
I mean, it's tricky. Well, I did not fake my death. This people always think this, David, and it annoys me. They always say, you're the one that faked your own death.
Right.
And I have to say, no, Michael Legg faked my death.
Right.
And that's where the confusion, because my death was definitely faked, but I had nothing to do with it. It was a surprise.
Right, you must admit that's rare though. You can see why people assumed you didn't.
Did
you actually get any benefit from him faking your death?
Yeah, so well, I was able to reinvent myself, and that's when I came back as Deborah Francis White.
I see.
Yeah, because my career hadn't been going very well. I was basically in Bellowing Nervously Over the Woman, the improv troupe, and I was the woman in that. So I was the only titular character of that.
Right.
All the rest were the bellowers.
You were needed for the format.
Yes. Yes, they had to bellow nervously over me, and they did. So then I was sort of like 6 months in Cuba, pretending to be dead. And then Michael...
I think you didn't need to do that. Because if they'd faked your death in Britain, I think the flying to Cuba was just to sort of get you out the way. I don't think you needed to pretend to be dead in Cuba.
Oh, I see.
I think wasted your time.
I didn't lie in a coffin. I don't think
okay.
No, I went out for dinner and things like that, but I knew that my identity had to be... You know,
did a 9-to-5 pretending to be dead.
Yes, that's right. And I went out and... But Michael would come over to see me then, because that was, you know, it was romantic and
exciting.
That's
good of him. Yes, and what happened?
Well, that was the idea of it. He was sort of, I'll fake your death for you, and then you can...
Then I know where you are at all times.
Yes.
You're in Cuba.
But after a period of time, you know, he stopped coming and fell in love with a dog and became a vegan. And that's the end of the story. And
those are things that just turn you off.
No, he just wasn't around anymore. I love Michael to this day. He doesn't know I'm back in this country. He still thinks I'm in Cuba.
Right.
But if you do see him, you know, don't tell him. It could be a massive shock.
That he wasted his time faking your death,
yes.
Really. You've made a smattering of appearances on film and television.
I have.
Most notably as Mrs. Cadell in What That Monkey? Any plans to act again?
Yes, actually. Mrs. Cadell 2 is out in cinemas.
They went straight to number 2 of Mrs. Cadell's spin-off films.
Yes, yeah. Mrs. Cadell 2, right. Back in the Habit.
I mean, they're not using that subtitle anymore.
No, absolutely. It's out in cinemas at Christmas. And I'm doing a turn in that. I'm sort of...
The Seabird?
Exactly.
Right.
Because it's sort of live action. I mean, Mrs. Cadell, of course, herself is a wren. And it's a live action period piece. So think Jane Austen meets The Jungle Book, but with birds.
I like it.
Mm. I mean,
so it's birds, but a comedy of manners.
Mm.
Who are they interested in?
Basically, it's about Mrs. Cadell, the wren. She's trying to marry off a couple of her fledglings while they're still eggs. So she's trying to sort of get that in place.
It's what used to happen.
And so she's waiting. And as soon as they hatch, they're going to be married off. That's what she wants. She wants them, obviously. Right. She wants them to go up in the world. So she's trying to get them together with some eagles in a nest nearby. And she's sort of doing all the things that you'd need to do.
Right.
You know, getting the nest on the fashionable side of the tree, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's divine in many ways. And at one point, there's this amazing sort of... I mean, I suppose it's an homage to Mr. Darcy, where a penguin comes out of a pond. just wet,
wet.
Sort of frilly, and just moves to... And that's my favourite scene.
Right. I mean, presumably they cast a penguin knowing that was going to happen because it is famously a swimming bird.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are people anticipating it because of that, do you think? You said it's live action, so you play a wren and that's a penguin.
Mm.
I'm just trying to picture it, you know.
Yes, we all are. We all are.
So all of you human women playing birds fawn over the actual penguin.
That's right.
And hopefully... Well, GIF will come out of it.
Yes. There'll be so many GIFs.
So
the penguin
GIFs.
Is actually played by Colin Firth.
Oh, I see.
Nice. That's why it's an homage. It's a direct homage.
Very nice.
He knows what he's doing.
I mean, he's done that in Bridget Jones already.
He's done that. He's played
Mark
Jackson.
So he's now gone, I've got to be a penguin or it's just too many times.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, he's so nice, Colin Firth, as well. I mean, he's so down to earth. He's just as good in bed as you'd think.
Really?
He's such... Yeah, oh, God, he's really good in bed. And he's a sort of... I mean, what's nice about him in bed is that he's very charming, but also, you know, knows what he's doing. Authoritative, David, and also...
Why did you say my name in the middle of that?
Just thought you'd like to know.
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
a...
Thanks.
I don't want to make any...
I mean, you're making a huge assumption I haven't slept with Colin Firth.
If you have, well done, because it's a...
I don't need your congratulation. I mean, we had a lovely evening and it was just between us.
Yeah, well, it's an experience, and if you can...
I know it is, yeah.
If you can have it,
I mean,
you
he thought he was voicing Paddington at the time, so he was on high spirits, I can tell you. Deborah Frances White, thank you for letting us inside you.
Thank you.
Deborah. Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. For information about upcoming recordings, please subscribe to my newsletter at mrdavidreed.com. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.